How do we optimize our state of mind so that we can bring our best to the long run in sport and in life? I'm Eloise Wellings, two-time Olympic athlete, and together with my mental skills coach, Rory Darkins, we are here to help you unlock your marathon state of mind. Welcome back, or welcome to another episode of Marathon State of Mind. Today, we have an incredible person on the show. I'm very excited. She's a good friend of mine. She's an incredible athlete and marathon runner for Great Britain, and she has just been named in the Paris Olympic team for the marathon. Charlotte Perdue, welcome to the show.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on. This is exciting because it's huge news. It got released yesterday that you are going to be running for Great Britain at the Paris Olympics this year in the marathon. How does it feel?
It feels like, honestly, like a little bit of a relief. But I'm also really excited. I just been thinking about this moment for so long, and even like after I ran the qualifier in September, I couldn't really celebrate it that it was a qualifier because I knew that I still had to wait till February to be maybe confirmed on the team. So I've just been quietly waiting, kind of like a little bit confident that I was going to get in the team, but also you don't want to be like going around saying, oh, I'm going to get in the Olympics, and then because obviously what happened last time. So yeah, I'm just honestly a bit relieved, to be honest.
Yeah, totally. And you know, you mentioned about what happened last time, you know, in my opinion, you've been left off the Olympic team unfairly and unjustly twice before, for Rio and then of course for Tokyo. And I want to actually read what you wrote after your appeal was rejected, after the Tokyo Olympics. And this is what you said on Instagram. It doesn't always happen how you dreamed it in your head, and there will be many bumps in the road. I faced so many obstacles and I've had plenty of ups and downs before. But at the end of the day, you've got to keep your head up high and know that the tough times build resilience. As confusing as this whole process has been, I always believe everything happens for a reason, and I can look back and know that this will only make me stronger. How does it feel listening to those words now, that knowing that, you know, you've been vindicated and I guess justice has been served now that you're finally going to live your dream, and rightly so, to run at the Olympic Games?
I actually can't remember what I wrote then, but it like gave me goosebumps a bit listening to it because it just takes me back to those emotions. But yeah, like that was, I was honestly like so gutted in that moment, and the only thing I could do was to focus on the next thing that I was aiming for, which ended up being London Marathon. And for me, that was a good day at the end of 2021 when I ran a personal best there. But yeah, thinking back to like the journey of what's happened in the last 3 years, it's like I just kind of had to forget about the Olympics, to be honest, and just focus on every little goal as it came, because if I had the Olympics on a pedestal like I had it before, I feel like I just would have been setting myself up for maybe like another massive disappointment. And yeah, I don't know, I didn't want to have that again, so I just kind of focused on, yeah, like every little goal as it came. So Berlin was obviously a big focus of mine last year to try and run the qualifier, and then qualifying in February was obviously like out of my hands, but yeah, it's a big goal, and then yeah, just setting little goals on the way, I guess.
And you ran the qualifier last year in Berlin in September, obviously, or not obviously to some people, but by over 4 minutes, which is amazing. You closed that post out with disappointed, disheartened, but I still love this game. Why do you love this game?
I think, obviously, like I said in the post, it's part of the journey. If I had a career that was like, oh, run debut marathon, run 220, for example, obviously that would have been great. But then I would maybe look back and think like it not came easy to me. But at least now I can look back and know that it's been like a great journey of ups and downs. Like no journey is going to be just all ups. And I think if you have that, then I don't know, like it's part of the story, I guess, to have the ups and the downs. And although the downs do suck at the time, I think it creates you as a person. And it's kind of like, it's just part of your story as an athlete. Like every athlete's going to have a different journey. And I am glad that I've had the ups and the downs, because it does make me appreciate the times when they're good, like now. But I know there's going to be plenty more like down times in the future as well. Like I know that it's not just going to keep trending up. But I think that's, yes, it's part of the fun, I guess. So I love how unexpected running is. Like you don't know what's going to happen. Everything, yeah, you just got to take the good times when they are here, and then, yeah, just kind of work through the bad times when they come as well.
Yeah, you're back. Obviously, as you've alluded to already, Charlotte's been quite a journey. I want to go back even further in that and talk about how you got into the sport. You know, obviously, you know, there's you getting into running originally, and then that transition at some point into the marathon. So first things first, tell us about, you know, how you got into running. And then secondly to that, what was it about the marathon in particular that caught your attention and made, you know, and made you want to pursue that?
Yes, I got into running originally at school. Some of my school friends like encouraged me to do a cross country for the school, and I went along to that. And then my first coach, he was at the event that I went to with my school, and he came up to me at the end and asked me if I wanted to join his running club, because he thought that I looked like I would be a good runner one day. I think I came 16th out of like 30 people, so I wasn't winning the race, but he thought that he saw me how I finished the race, and he was like, oh, you look like you could be a good runner. So I went along to the local athletics club, and then yeah, I just really liked it. I liked the training and more like the social side of things and the racing, going like as a team to all the races at the weekends. So I did that. And then, yeah, just when I started doing the longer distances as a junior, people would always come up to me and say, oh, you're going to be a great marathon runner one day. So I kind of always had that in the back of my mind, people telling me. And then I would do like VO2 max tests on the treadmill, stuff like that. And then they would say to me, oh, you're really economical for the marathon. Like you're going to make a great marathon runner. So when I switched coaches in 2015 to Nick Bordeaux, we were originally going to target the 10K for Rio. And he just said to me, I think you should just go all in for the marathon and try and run the qualifier in your first ever marathon. He was like, you might as well. I think you're going to be a good marathon runner. So I kind of just trusted what he said. And yeah, I went all in. And my first marathon was the trials, the 2016 London Marathon for the Olympics. So yeah, that was my first one.
Wow. And back, like, obviously you had people around you telling you that you were going to be, you know, a great marathoner. Was there a point that you remember where you believed that as well?
Yeah, I think I always enjoyed running the 800 when I was a kid. I just liked, I don't know, I liked the 800. And I always said to my coach, like, can I not stay at the 800? This is my first coach. And he was kind of like laughing at me, like, no, you're not going to be an 800 meter runner. And I guess I was just always pushed towards the longer distances. So I kind of trusted their judgment that I would be better at longer distances. I mean, I don't know what would have happened if I'd have stayed doing 800 meter training. Like, would I have been a good runner? I don't know. But probably not. So yeah, who knows, I could have been like an Olympian in the 800 maybe. But no, I think I do enjoy the longer distances now. Like, I can't think of anything better than going for a 2.5 hour run. Whereas if you said to me, I've got to do like 10 300s, I would just hate that. So I don't know, I like the long distances. So I think, yeah, I was made for the marathon, I think.
Yeah,
you were. Charlotte is known as the OG mileage monster in our group, which is, I mean, it's a title. It's a role that a label that you wear beautifully, and it's so great.
On that though, you mentioned you couldn't think of anything better than going for a 2.5 hour run. Help us to understand what kind of state of mind you find yourself in on a long run. You know, like I think there is, you know, many people who listen to this podcast will resonate with both sides, where like, you know, there's those days where the long run is, you know, this great experience, and there's also times for people where it's, you know, it feels like really challenging, and everything in between. And so, you know, thinking about when you love going for a long run, what sort of state of mind do you find out there on the roads or wherever you're doing that long run?
Yeah, I kind of just like switching off, really. I don't listen to music or anything. I could easily just run and not have any music or any company. I just kind of like thinking about, I guess, like nothing. I can't tell you what I think about because I honestly can't remember. I just go for a run and then, yeah, I come back and I've just spent like 2.5 hours in my own head. But I kind of like that. Just a way to switch off and, yeah, just appreciate like where I'm running or stuff like that. Obviously, if I've got a long run, which is to pace, or I've got some workout in it, then it helps to have company and I'm more like focused in. But if I'm just going for a run, which is easy pace, then I do just like to switch off and just kind of tip off the K's and not really worry about like what I'm thinking about, just think whatever comes to mind.
Yeah, awesome. Sounds like meditation for you.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like if I'm having like a stressful day, I actually remember the time when I got the phone call saying I wasn't selected for the 2021 Olympics, and I was in the car park and I was about to do like a gym session because I was coming back from an injury, so I was only running once a day and I'd already done 90 minutes that morning, so that was like a decent distance run, and I was meant to go on the bike for an hour, but I got the phone call and I was obviously devastated. So I got out the car and I went for a 2-hour run. Oh. And obviously not like ideal to do when you come back from an injury and you've already run 90 minutes in the morning, but I was kind of in that headspace where I was like, I need to run, like all I need to do is run right now. And I remember it was getting dark and it was in Windsor Great Park, and it was like I finished the run and it was basically pitch black, and obviously everyone was kind of contacting me like, where are you, because they thought I was at the gym. But it was exactly like you said, it was like meditation for me, like I just needed to get out and run. And yeah, it took like 2 hours of I needed to just run for 2 hours basically.
yeah wow, that's an I think that is one of the beauties of running sometimes, you know, is that it can be like a gateway into becoming like really immersed, like you're just doing what you're doing, which is running. And I think, you know, for people it's such a great practice actually to like try to allow your mind to just be in what you're doing at that time and be in the moment when you're running. And what, even if it is, you know, you got all these different stresses in your life or anything like that, it's like, you know, going for a run and allowing your mind to be in the present moment, just keep coming back to the moment. And, you know, it can be such a great therapy session of sorts.
Is it the same, Charlotte, when you're competing? Like, is it like, you know, you obviously mentioned that in Berlin in September, you knew what you had to go and do. It's the Olympic qualifying time. The pressure was on. You had a, you know, big hairy goal. You'd been coming back from little nigglies and illnesses throughout the year, and you didn't know what was going to happen. What was your headspace going into that marathon? And is it different to what it would be, you know, just going for a 2.5 hour training run? Like, what were you thinking? What was your game plan mentally in Berlin last year?
Berlin was different because I knew I had like a job to do. I wanted to run the qualifier. Nick was telling me to go at like a sensible pace. He wanted me to run 2:24 because my original plan was to run Valencia as well. So he said run 2:24 in Berlin and then we'll go to Valencia and try and run faster. So I knew that I had like a job to do. I wanted to tip off the Olympic qualifier for one. But then as I was training, I knew that I was in better shape than 2:24, and I didn't want to waste the opportunity of running faster and holding myself back. So I said to Nick, I'm not going to go for 2:24. I'm going to go for 2:22. And originally he was like, oh, it's a risk. You can just wait and 2:24 will be enough to get in the team. But I just knew that I was in good shape, and you don't want to, like, I didn't want to waste that opportunity because I didn't know if I I was going to make it to Valencia or if I was get injured. You never just never know, do you, like what's going to happen. So I just thought I'm going to go for 222. So I was all in that headspace. I knew based off training that I was in 222 shape. So it was kind of just like go execute the race that I knew I could do. So yeah, it was kind of calm knowing that I'd done all the training. But I actually woke up the morning of the race with a sore throat. So that was a bit, I was a bit stressed about that because I couldn't swallow. Like my throat was so sore. So Adam was going to find me paracetamol at like 4 a.m. race morning because I couldn't swallow and my throat was so sore. So that wasn't ideal, but I just had to push that to the back of my mind. And I think I honestly got away with that race by one day because the next day I came down with the worst illness ever. Looking back, I think it was meant to happen. It was meant to be. I'm just grateful to be able to have ticked off a PB and the Olympic qualifier.
Awesome. A lot of people in the marathon obviously have quite clear time goals like that. Sometimes having a time goal can negatively influence, your experience of the marathon and or, the outcome. But it sounds like in that situation, the clarity of the goal and also the kind of confidence coming from your training, knowing that you could do that, it almost seemed like you mentioned like you had a job to do and it seemed like like it was very clear to you. Help us to understand like that difference between having a clear goal and also times when maybe having a goal like that gets in the way. Like what could someone do if they do have a running based goal? How could they go about it in a way where it actually helps them to have a good day as opposed to gets in the way?
Yeah, I think having like multiple goals is good. So like an A, a B and a C goal maybe, because my A goal was obviously to run what I thought I could run 222, but then my B goal would have been what Nick said, 224. And then my C goal would have been, just finishing if something had gone wrong in the race or I got cramp or I don't know, would have just been like finishing the Berlin Marathon. So I knew that obviously those were the three goals, but I was kind of just trying to focus on the A goal. But then as the race unraveled, if something had gone wrong, I would have had to resort back to other different goals that I would have set for myself. In the training, I always have to have like something to focus on. Nick always tells me off for it because he said I get too focused on like a specific time or a specific goal. And he thinks that I wake up every day and I think I need to run 222 in Berlin, for example. And he thinks that like 6 months out that I shouldn't be thinking that. But yeah. I need to have that in training to be like not motivated, but I need to have something to work towards always, because for me, it just helps in the training when it does get hard. And, some days you wake up and you're like, oh, I don't know if I feel, I obviously always feel like running, but it helps with that extra motivation for me to know that I'm working towards a specific goal. So I do like to have something to think about, even if like 6 months out, it's quite generic, like not generic, but it's not really specific. And then as I get closer to the goal, I'll maybe change it to make it more specific based on how training's gone and stuff like that.
Awesome. So the clarity of having multiple goals obviously sounds like a really useful strategy that helps you to be more flexible than probably what you would be if it was like an all or nothing one goal. When you have like a goal in mind, say something that you're working towards in the future, like 4 or 6 months in the future, like what sits behind that? So, for example, the obvious one is, you wanted to make the Olympics. What I want to know is like, what's underneath that? Like, why do you want to make the Olympics and kind of maybe even beyond the Olympic, like Olympics or not, what are you driven by in doing what you do?
Yeah, I think I love the feeling of when you do accomplish something that you've set your sights on, and you work so hard for something. I love that feeling afterwards, knowing that you've like given something your all and you've done it. It's like such a good feeling just for yourself. I feel like it's just driven by like the self-satisfaction of feeling like, oh, I've worked so hard for this every day and now I've done it. It's like, I don't know, it's just a feeling that I love. So every time something goes right like that, in Berlin, for example, I just want to do it again. So I'm like already setting myself another goal of doing something else where I can, like, I ran Marigami Half in February, and I really wanted to get a PB there, so I was all in on that, like just focused on trying to get there and run a PB. And then same thing, it was like, oh, I've done it, I've got a PB, so now I'm like looking for the next thing. Obviously qualifying for the Olympics was like more like a life career massive highlight, but it's kind of comes under the same umbrella of like, yeah, a big goal, but obviously it's not a specific like race that I've just done. It's more just like a lifetime of work that's just been like rewarded. But I feel like now I'm obviously working towards the Olympics in August, so that will be my next big goal. But on the way I'll have other little ones, like other races that I'll do, which I can focus on the way.
Yeah, you bet. And whether a race goes well or not, so obviously you've had some great ones, and like anyone who's exploring their potential, you know, you have days where it doesn't work out. Like, regardless of the outcome, what kind of things do you hope to be able to say to yourself after you've raced?
Yeah, I always want to finish and know that I've obviously given it my all, but I have had some times where it's gone bad, or I've had like a cramp or an injury or something's happened where I look back and I'm like disappointed with what's happened, the result, and then kind of just searching for answers, like what could I have done better? And in those times, then I think it is good to focus like quite soon on something else, because otherwise I just dwell on like what's gone wrong for too long and like beat myself up over it. And more often than not with the marathon as well, like the work's already done in the training, and if the race doesn't go right for whatever reason, it is hard because you have to wait so long before you do another one. So yeah, that's hard, and I think it does help to focus on like the work that you've done as well, has been like part of the result, because obviously not always the race goes the way that you want, but the training that you've done is in the bank and it will help you for the next marathon. So I have had some marathons that have gone bad, but then the next one after that has gone like really well, and I look back and I'm like, oh, that's because of the training that I did for the marathon and that went bad as well, like it was all in the bank. So looking back, I know that the bad marathons actually did help me in a way as well.
Yeah, awesome. It's like a zooming out and going, you know what, it's not wasted. Even if I don't hit my A goal on the day, it's like there's something to learn from any experience. And there's also, you know, it's not just all about what happens on the race day. It's like the training counts regardless of how well the race goes.
Yeah,
it's so fascinating, Charlotte, because obviously I've been following your journey, you know, mostly from a distance the last few years, and just seeing, you know, the resilience that you've shown and continuing to bounce back, you know, so well from all sorts of challenges and various experiences. So I'm just so stoked to hear, you know, in your voice that like you're able to have this moment now where you're like, oh, that's like lifetime of work is like being rewarded. That's like so good to hear. There's one more piece that I want to understand with this, which is you've kind of been talking about, it's really clear to me from what you've been saying, like the value of having goals, like whether it's, you know, you have a disappointing experience, then like setting yourself a new goal, like having something to look forward to and work towards seems to be like a really helpful way to move through that difficult experience. And you've also mentioned like so much of it is when you do achieve a goal, like there's this real satisfaction that you feel when, you know, when it comes together. Obviously the kind of the days where it comes together are not very frequent, particularly in the marathon, right? You might run a couple of marathons a year, and you know, if one of the two of them go really well, that's amazing. And you get that experience then. Like, do you kind of think having a goal to work towards actually gives you more than the making that goal does?
Yeah, I guess so. I kind of think for me anyway, I have to have something to work towards, but I think it is quite individual. I don't know like if everyone feels the same as me, but I'm really like an all or nothing kind of person, so I have to go all in on a specific goal in order to get the best out of myself. Like I can't be like 80% in, I have to be like all in. I can't do something like half-heartedly. So for me, when I have the goal, I'm like laser focused, like on this goal. And yeah, that's just the way I have to do it. But I don't know if everyone's the same as me.
Yeah,
I just,
yeah.
I find it helpful to do that. But
yeah. And how does that, like, so obviously I'm imagining like in a marathon block, you have the race in mind and you have the kind of goal for that race really clearly set out, you know, for that whole training block. Does that kind of break down at all into like week by week or session by session, where you like, do you kind of have certain goals or intentions for a session itself? You know, does that kind of goal orientation show up on the daily? Is this really my question?
No, I think Nick makes sure that I don't do that, because he thinks that obviously he sets the sessions and he hates it when I compare to what I've done before.
Mm.
And I think in Berlin, I actually went to altitude for the training block. And so I couldn't really compare because the times were obviously slower because I was at altitude. And I think that really helped because I just focused on getting the training done versus if I was at home in Bushy Park, I would have been comparing it to when I ran those exact same sessions in 2021 on the same course. So
mm.
I think now I've got a bit more of a relaxed mindset in that, because I've had done so many marathon blocks and I've got the experience, I know that the training, you just have to get it done. And it's more about layering the training versus focusing on trying to run faster every time, because I've run sessions like faster before and then the race has gone like not as well as I thought it would. And so now I know that the training is just part of the puzzle, and it's not about trying to run fast, leaving a race in training. It's about getting the training done. So I've tried to move away from that mindset.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it's definitely something that I've worked on throughout my whole career, but especially since I've been running marathons, because the marathon workouts in particular can be so different from week to week, especially once you, like, as the build continues and you know you get more and more fatigued, and you know, the weather can make a huge difference as well, especially if you're training in an Australian summer, and there's so many variables that can make a workout slower or faster. And I think comparing can be, it's a dangerous game. And I actually remember Nick saying to me, he's obviously my coach as well, you put all of the training in a box. You do all of the training over the, you know, 10 or 12 week build that we do, and you put it all in a box, and then on race day you open up the box, and that's as simple as it needs to be, you know, or as complicated as it needs to be. And I really like that analogy. I really like the visual that I have of that, because you're like, yeah, I'm doing this marathon workout and slightly nervous, but more nervous about the pain rather than not performing. Do you know what I mean? More nervous about how it's going to feel rather than maybe not doing it as well as I did last time or beforehand, you know, times before. It's more about, okay, I need to, how do I want to, it's more about focusing on how I want to be in the workout rather than how fast I want to go. So that's been helpful for me.
I just think it's a really cool insight, because a lot of people who do run marathons and a lot of people who are interested in, you know, getting the best out of themselves in anything, like, you know, they are goal driven, you know, they do have like ambition, they're challenging themselves and they're enjoying that process. But there's a flip side to that. You know what I mean? There can be that flip side if like you're competing like every day to like, you know, perform in training, or you're comparing, you know, your splits one week to the next week and never necessarily feeling like it's good enough. And so I really like the way that you're able to do both, which is have that clear goal, have a couple of goals, you know, an A, B and C goal, as you mentioned, but have that as something that fuels you, something that kind of directs your efforts and kind of inspires you, but be able to just get the job done on the day, like day by day, and not kind of feel like every day needs to necessarily be, you know, a big performance. You know, it's like go and do the training, you know, pat yourself on the back hopefully and then move on and do the next one. So it's a cool distinction, because I think we can maybe get stuck sometimes in that, like, you know, that goal-driven mindset where everything has to be done perfectly or something. Otherwise, it's, you know, even, you know, you mentioned you're all or nothing kind of person. Well, you know, that can turn into everything has to be perfect. Otherwise it doesn't count for anything. And that's just not a true reflection of, you know, of life and high performance. So it's a really cool insight.
Mm.
Have you found that your mindset makes a difference in a marathon? And like, you know, go wherever you want with that answer, because it's like, what have you learnt about, you know, your mental game in running marathons? Because I think marathons are such a challenge, you know, mentally as well as physically.
Yeah, I think it does depend on the race as well, I find, with that, because if it's a championship marathon, then I'm obviously not focused on time and my mindset will be more about trying to compete. Mm. Whereas for races like Berlin, London Marathon, I was focused on a time that I knew I wanted to achieve. So I'd say I don't know if they're more relaxed, or it's definitely a different mindset though, because I'm more focused on splits and in the race, I'm like focused on the time specific goal. Whereas obviously I do want to compete, but it's kind of like you're just focusing on your own race. Whereas when you're doing a championship marathon, I think you're just not focused on the time and you're competing against the other athletes. So I guess that's kind of different with the mindset versus like what the goal is going in, because yeah, just what you want to get out of it really.
Are there certain things that you kind of say to yourself, like when you're running, like at various times, like is there kind of
what's Charlotte's mantra?
Yeah, I mean, not that you necessarily even have one, but like, you know, are there certain things that you find like you kind of tend to say to yourself, you know, when you're running or when you're training, and particularly maybe if it's, you know, if it's you're doing something difficult?
I think in the race, I always think back to the training that I've done and the work that I've put in, because that the race is like the reward, really. Mm. I always think like I am kind of quite relaxed on the start line, knowing that I've got there, and like that's for me the hardest part is the training. And once I've got to the start line, I'm like quietly confident / relaxed that I know that I've done the work. I think I've always, in a marathon especially, I've always known like what kind of shape I'm in based on the training. So I don't do anything crazy in the first half. I'm like, I know what kind of shape I'm in. So the second half, then I kind of just forget the watch and like try and run as hard as I can. But in the moments where it gets hard, I'm thinking about all the training that I've done and that I've done the work for the result that I think I should get. So I'm just trying to execute what I know that I can do. So it's kind of just like being quietly confident and knowing that you've done the work really.
Yeah.
I remember bringing you my training diary.
I knew you were going to say that.
Before my first marathon in London, thankfully Charlotte was running the same marathon and I was having what we call the storm before the calm, which is the days leading into the marathon. I was having panicky moments and I brought Charlotte down into these beautiful gardens in, where were we? Windsor. The hotel was in Windsor.
Windsor.
Yeah, brought my training diary down to Charlotte. We met for a coffee and I said, can I do this? Tell me that I can do this. What, you know, is my training enough? And, you know, you were so encouraging and you were like, heck yes, you're going to run great. And I had an amazing experience. And so grateful for that, Charlotte. And I do resonate with the, you know, like being able to, I don't know, have evidence from your training that things have gone well, but also have this sense of optimism. You know, you've always got this sense of optimism that like, and this hope that, you know, I've had little glitches along the way, because I know that of your journey too, you've had great marathons when little, you know, things have come up, and you've managed to stay really optimistic and still hope for good things, and you've been able to put it together on the day. And I think that's always, I know, the belief that anything is possible, I think is sort of how you go about things too.
Thanks. Yeah, I always remember as well, Nick telling me like when he's tracking me in a marathon, if I get to 30K and I'm like hitting the splits, he doesn't need to worry about me anymore because he knows yeah. that the last
get better after K- that.
Yeah. yeah. So I always think that in a race when I get to like 30K in Berlin, I'm thinking like, oh, Nick's tracking me now and he knows that I'll be okay. So then I'm like, yeah. I don't need to worry. And then I just kind of race and try and finish as hard as I can. But I think that that belief that he has as well does help. Yeah, knowing that he thinks that. So
yeah, that's so important.
But and you believe it, right? And so I mean, I'm still like, a lot of people have the opposite mentality, right? A lot of people go, oh yeah, I've got to 30K, but is the wall coming? Am I about to hit the wall? Like, help us. Like, I think there's a real nugget of wisdom here about how you can have confidence in yourself and trust in yourself in the hardest part. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I'll be okay from here because I'm at 30K, I'm on track, I'll be good. I've got 12 more K to run. Like, help us understand how that, where that confidence and trust comes from.
The long runs.
I think, the first marathon that I did, I definitely think I was more cautious of that. Like, I didn't know what it was going to feel like. But I think now, yeah, the training just prepares me so well that I know that I can do it because I've done the same training block so many times that I know that if I complete that training block, I'm in a good place. Even if, like I said, I don't compare the different times or whatever, I know that once I've done the work, like, that I can do the race. So it does get hard after 30K. It's never easy. So I never expect it to be easy, but I always know that I can do it.
I do remember you saying to me, Charlotte, that you tell yourself almost every marathon after 30K that you don't have to ever run another step after you finish this race if you don't want to. Like, you're like, I'm going all in for this until I get to the finish line. And I have the choice whether I decide to do this again. And I love that because it's like freeing you up to go, I'm choosing to now lean into this for this next little bit of time. And then if I don't want to do it again, I don't have to.
I always say that to myself in a race. That's actually probably, I forgot about that. But every race I do, I pretty much get to like the last K. And I think to myself, like, you never have to run a step ever again after this if you don't want. Like, because I know I'm going to put myself into the pain cave so much that I'll just, like I said, I'm all or nothing. Like, I have to go all in. So I'm like all in. And then once I finish the race, I know that, like, I never have to run a step ever again if I don't want. But obviously I always do because I love running. But it's just that mindset of I want to give this absolutely everything that I've got and know that, like, it's the last race I'll ever do in my life, like that kind of mentality.
You know, that actually like sounds so fitting because from what I understand of you, like that just seems like a really that's how you go about it from what I can understand is that you're all in. You just give full commitment. If you're doing something, you're like 100% doing it. You give yourself, you fully commit. And you know that you don't have to do it forever, but while you're doing it, you're doing it. Does that sound like close to, you know, what you're all about?
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly the mindset I have, which kind of sometimes isn't a good mindset to have all the time because, like I said, Nick tries to hold me back because I want to do every single race and, like, I want to be like that all the time. But I know that I can only do that a couple of times a year. Otherwise, I'll get fatigued or injured or do something stupid. But so yeah, it helps to have like someone else to help with that, like a coach, for example.
Awesome. That is so insightful. What I think is really useful for anyone listening to, you know, about that is just how temporary it is. You know, a marathon, however many hours, you know, you're kind of doing it for, it's a finite period of time. And if you are like, you know, just that sense of commitment that you bring to bet on yourself, to trust your training and back yourself and just know, like, allow yourself to actually give it everything in that for that period of time, knowing that it's not forever. You know, you're going to feel all the feels for that period of time, but you're going to, on the other side of that is being so satisfied that you've given it everything. And I kind of think, maybe that might be part of the Charlotte special formula right there.
Yeah.
I was just gonna say, I always think about things that I am gonna like reward myself with after the race as well. Like I remember in 2021, I really wanted this Louis Vuitton handbag, so I'm thinking about that Louis Vuitton handbag as I'm running like the last K, because I thought like, oh, if I get this time goal, I'm gonna buy the handbag. And then like in Berlin, it was like, oh, I want to buy this watch if I get this goal, but I have to achieve the goal that I set before the race in order to get it. So I do have like other things that I'm thinking about as well. Always things that I want to buy and like reward myself, which
I noticed. I noticed that you your Instagram story showed that you're at the Cartier store yesterday. Did you get yourself a little treaty there?
I did, yes. See that?
What did you get?
That was another thing that I really like wanted. I've been thinking about like this watch that I wanted for ages from Cartier, and yeah, when I got selected, I was like, right, that's me, I'm going to buy the watch. Like, I don't even need to think twice about it. I'm like, I've earned this, I'm going to get it. And so I go and get it and don't feel guilty about it, because I think like as well, obviously we work so hard, like it's good to reward yourself with little treats along the way.
I love that.
It's cool how you actually have turned that into a strategy though. Like, it's like a performance strategy for you. Like, you're thinking about that as part of your kind of, you know, part of your mental game whilst you're running, is actually like, you know, you pulling all those extra incentives into the mix to actually help fuel you. And I think it's a helpful thing, you know. Like, I think for all of us, we've got to reflect on, you know, what drives us and what works for us, and kind of then go, all right, well, what's important to me that I'm trying to do, and then, you know, be able to leverage whatever helps us to do that in the way we want to do it. And
can we talk about that one time that it backfired, Charlotte, for the London Marathon?
When I bought myself the thing before the race actually started, and then the race got cancelled. let's not talk about that.
It wasn't her fault. She canceled the race.
It wasn't her fault.
You earned it regardless.
So now I have to actually do the thing before I buy the thing. And not get too excited about it. But yeah, I think it helps, but it's not so good for my bank balance when I set myself these items that I want to buy. But at least I think as well, like now I look at these things that I've bought for myself, and I'm reminded of the hard work and the goal that I achieved. Like, I know it's not ideal, like buying yourself a Louis Vuitton handbag, but now I wear that bag and I'm like, I earned that bag and I did this goal and I actually achieved it and I earned the bag. So I don't feel guilty about it. And I think it's like, yeah, I look at the bag and I remember the work that I did to buy the bag. Right.
Like a symbol.
It's good. It's nostalgia.
Coming full circle here then, Charlotte. So obviously you now know that you're heading toward the Olympics. That would be the next sort of, you know, big thing on the calendar, I'm assuming, or certainly there's not many things bigger than that. But how are you thinking about that, you know, in the context of what we've talked about, with how you've got this great ability to set yourself a goal and go all in towards it? Is it the same with the Olympics, or does this feel different? Like, how are you thinking about it at this stage?
At this stage, I'm kind of thinking of it. Obviously, it's a big goal to just get to the Olympics, but I do want to perform well when I get there. But part of me is like trying to contain the excitement, because I know it's 6 months away. And if I go all in now, like, that will just be a disaster, because it's a long way away, and I can't be like in that mindset for 6 months. I'll just either get burnt out or injured or something. So at this moment in time, I'm kind of keeping it in a little box, and I know that it's far away and the training has started, but it hasn't really. I'm obviously not going to not train now, but I've got other goals on the way, but I need to focus on the Olympics when it's time to like really dial in for that race. So yeah, I'm excited about it and I'm working towards it, but I'm not all or nothing Charlotte yet. Kind of like, I'm in the 80% Charlotte, which is hard for me to do, but I know that it's part of the process that I have to do. Like, I have to be more relaxed with training right now, otherwise I won't make it and be my best self on the day, August the 11th. So I'm kind of, I'm relaxed a bit more now, and training hard, but also yeah, just enjoying training a bit more, just being a bit more relaxed, really.
Yeah, so good to hear.
And again, I just want to double down on that insight that it's like, I think it's so valuable to know that you can go all in on something, and it's possibly even more valuable to know when is the time to do that and
Yeah.
when is the time to hold yourself back from that. So that's
Yeah.
really, really wise counsel there for anyone who's particularly, like goal driven, that, it's not about being 100% all in all the time, because there's a cost to that. Sometimes it's about timing that right, so that you're all in when it matters most, and you're able to, get to that point of time in the best place possible to then, go and do that. So, yeah, it's a dynamic thing, isn't it? Kind of having big ambitions and big goals, but knowing kind of how to time that well.
Yeah, I've definitely tried it before, where in the past, like as a junior, for example, where I've just trained like ridiculously hard all year round, like for everything, and I just ended up getting like burnt out and injured. And you just can't be your best self if you're like that all the time. I think obviously I'm still running every day and still running like a lot of training and still training hard, but it's definitely a different mindset that I have right now versus like what I have 8 weeks, 10 weeks out from a big goal. Because yeah, like I said, otherwise I wouldn't be my best self for the goal if I can't. Like, you have to definitely periodize the training a little bit, I've worked out, because otherwise, yeah, you just can't get the best out of yourself, and you don't get the best results, I don't think, either. Like, mentally as well as physically, you need to have that time.
Yeah,
Yeah.
so true.
And are there any ways in which what you've learned, or any lessons that you've learned in running, or experiences that you've had in running, how have they helped you as a person, or in, more broadly in your life?
I think, well, obviously running like is definitely like my whole life.
Yeah, yeah,
It's all
yeah.
I do every day. But yeah, I think it helps me to, yeah, be more like organized and just to go like all in and know that like if I set myself a goal of something, that I'm gonna do it. So I think like whatever I would set my mind to, I would be able to do it, whether it was like if I did get a job after running, like doing something else, that like, I know that I'd be driven to do like whatever I was setting myself to do. So I think it definitely, yeah, it's taught me a lot.
This is probably Elsie's rap.
How these wrap.
Because I mean, we are, I don't remember our whole group, Melbourne Track Club, being more excited for someone to be selected in an Olympic team. I'll just start with that. But I remember when we were at the Rio Olympics, well, we were training for the Rio Olympics, and you had unjustly been left off the British team, but still came on the training camp with us as we built towards Rio. And we were up in Mount Laguna for a full month, and there was about 10 of us, and Indy was there, and Johnny was there, and Nick and Collis, and I just remember like there wasn't 1 ounce of you that wasn't all in on encouraging us and cheering us on our way to Rio. And I don't know, I'll just like not forget that, because you could have been, you were obviously disappointed and discouraged about the decision and around that selection, and then but you're getting on with it, and you chose to be, the person that you are, this kind, encouraging person that was always cheering us on. And then, a couple of months later, you finished the year. I think you ran the Berlin Marathon that year in September, and finished the year the fastest British woman marathon runner of the year. And
Yeah.
I'm like, and it was no surprise to us. And we're all celebrating that. But yeah, I just remember like who you were in those moments were, I know I'll never forget that.
Thanks.
Awesome. Well, it's very clear that you've had to be very patient in this journey, the Olympic journey, that is. But you've not wasted any time in terms of going after your potential and going all in on what it is that you love to do. And it just sounds like you've got this alignment between who you are as a person and how you go about your running. You know what I mean? Like, it's like you do it your way, which is like, I'm all in when I'm doing it. And, you know, I'm backing myself, and I know that I can back myself because I know that I do the work. Yeah. And it's that loop between what you do when no one's watching, you know, and those sort of everyday kind of training runs and things like that, what you know of yourself in those moments comes back to you in the moments when you get to 30K in a marathon and you're like, oh yeah, I'm good. Like, I can, I'll be right from here. I've done the work, you know, and even being relaxed on the start line, knowing like, I've done the work, this is the reward. You know, it's just so clear how, you know, how much trust you have in yourself. And that trust isn't something you're just born with. It's something that you've gone and developed through how you've shown up to the daily reality of running, which is not always glamorous, as you well know. And so with that known, like, it's, you know, we're just so stoked that, you know, you've got this recognition, you got this opportunity to go to the Olympics, and, you know, to put all of who you are onto that stage as well, and go about that in your way. So we'll certainly be cheering you on in that journey, and very much looking forward to following you know, the Olympic journey, and then well beyond that as you continue to lay it all out there, go all in, and explore your potential.
Thanks very much.
Thanks, Charlotte.